चरति श्रेष्ठस् तत्तद् एवेतरो जना स यत् प्रमाणं कुरुते लोकस्तद् अनुवर्तते.
Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow in his footsteps. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly even before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called an acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra to reach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures like Manu Samhita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principle of the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress and the path of spiritual realization. The king or the executive head of a state, the father and the school teacher, are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow in his footsteps. And whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. This verse from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita is giving us the proper instruction by which human society can be uplifted. Without understanding very carefully what is being said here, no matter what endeavors we make for peace and prosperity, human society will simply become degraded and bound by the reactions of sinful activities. Yad yad acharati shrestas tad tad evetaro jana sa yat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. We must follow in the footsteps of great saintly persons. But to follow in the footsteps of the great leaders of society means to become a leader oneself. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that the kings, the politicians, the father, the mother, the school teacher, they are all considered natural leaders of the innocent people. And if such people behave immorally, they are misleading the general society to hellish conditions of suffering. You are responsible to be a leader of humanity. This is the order of God upon the head of everyone. It is not that we can simply expect others to lead nicely and we will just live according to our own convenience and think that that is all right. No. It is your sacred duty to live according to the highest moral codes. And by your words and by your example, you lead the innocent people upward. Prabhupada explains, if a school teacher is engaging in immoral activities, naturally the children will become degraded. But yet today the school teachers, they engage in sinful activities and say, let the parents teach them morality. I'm teaching them academics. That is why Srila Prabhupada explained the modern educational systems are spiritual slaughterhouses. And are we going to be a servant of our children or the destroyer of the principles of morality of our children? What to speak of father and mother? What a child sees the parents doing is what the child will do. If the parents do not live according to high principles of human civilization, they become factually the enemies of their own children, the destroyer of the future of their own children. In the name of love, we may give them lots of money and a comfortable place to live and nice automobiles and nice food and nice television sets. But if we are not giving them by our example the proper way of life, we are cheating them and we are their enemy. So how to become a leader? How to become an example? Mahajano yena katasa panta. There's only one way. We cannot manufacture with our own fertile brains what is to be done and what is not to be done. But we must all follow the great souls of the past. The purpose of life is to realize God. And the spiritual master, the great devotees of the Lord, both at this time and in the past, they have established how to lead a life by which we could love God and know God. And the greatest gambling, the greatest risk, is not going to Las Vegas or Reno and playing the games that they play there and losing all your money. That's a small gamble, a small risk. Of course, it will pollute your entire life by taking part of it. But the biggest gamble is to speculate, to think that we know what's best. God has descended in this world through so many most munificent incarnations, and he has established the scriptures in these incarnations, like the Bhagavad Gita, the Ramayana, the Srimad Bhagavat. And he has also come through the lives of his devotees. In fact, it is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita that you will never understand the perfection of life or the essence of God consciousness by studying the Vedas or by studying any scripture of the world, nor by performing any amount of sacrifices or practicing any amount of rituals, or even by living according to the highest moral standards. There is only one exclusive way of understanding the true goal of life and attaining it. Mahajano yena gatasa panta. By following in the footsteps of the great sadhus who through their life and through their words are revealing the truth to us. There is no other way. And to think that there is an illusion of Maya. The scriptures, the essence of the scriptures, is only revealed through the heart of a pure devotee who has surrendered his life and soul in the loving service of the Lord and humanity. And therefore, by associating with people who are striving on this path, the doors to liberation are open. Mahatsevam dwaram ahurava muktesh, tamodwaram yoshita sanghi sangam. That by associating with saintly people, the doors to the kingdom of God are open wide. But by associating with materialist people who are simply hovering on the mental plane, speculating what is good and what is bad, what is religion and what is irreligion, what is to be done and what is not to be done. The doors to ignorance and bondage are opened in our life. And this is why, within the Vaishnav lifestyle, and in fact the lifestyle of all sincere aspirants of all the great religions of the world, there are certain days set aside to commemorate, to meditate, and to contemplate on the wonderful, illustrious examples of previous acharyas, previous great devotees of the Lord who have surrendered their everything in life to setting the proper example of how to love God in this world. Today is one such day. Today is the most sacred and holy appearance, celebration of Srila Ram Anuj Acharya, who is the great Acharya who revived and spread the glories of bhakti through the Sri Sampradaya. So of course, such a great soul, we can speak on not for hours, not for days, not for years, but for lifetimes. But today I would like to just share with you a few remembrances of this very, very great, great devotee of the Lord, and the incredible impact he had on the entire nation of India, and factually the entire world. One empowered soul, what they can do to spread liberation and love throughout all of society. That is the story of Sri Ramanujacharya. He was born in South India, a place called Bhutapur. His mother's name was Kanti Mati, I believe. And father's name was Asuri Keshavacharya. They had no children for many, many years. Now, they were great devotees of the Lord. And they understood that what was the purpose of their marriage life if they could not produce a child who would be a great servant of Lord Narayan. So not for their own selfish purposes, but in a spirit of love and devotion, they went to the Parthasarathi temple, which is now in Madras, and they prayed to Lord Vishnu that if it so be your desire, my Lord, please allow us to have a son who we could raise in your loving service and who can do great service by bringing all of the suffering humanity to your lotus feet. And there, Keshavacharyaji, who is also a very qualified Brahmin, performed a yajna for this purpose. And shortly after, about a year later, a beautiful, auspicious son was born. The uncle of this child, whose name was Shailapur, who was an intimate disciple of the greatest of the Vaishnavas at the time, Jamunacharya, considered that this boy will have the same devotion and love as Lakshman, the beloved brother of Ram. And so he gave him a name of Lakshman, Ramanuja. When the child was very young, he was naturally very inclined toward the association of devotees. And by his example, he showed how a young child can perfect his life simply by associating with devotees.
with sadhus.
This is something to be very carefully recognized by all parents. The perfection of your parental love for your child is twofold. One is by your example to teach that child how to be a devotee of Krishna by your body, mind, and words. And two, by your example to teach that child to be utterly attached to the association of sadhus, of holy people. There was a great devotee of the name of Kanchipurna. He lived in near Kanchipuram in South India. Ramanuja lived very close to that place. And one day, while Kanchipurna was walking to the Varadraj temple to do his seva to the Lord, Ramanuja saw him. And seeing such a great holy man, with all humility, this young boy bowed down and offered obeisances at his lotus feet. And immediately he was thinking that such a great devotee, what is the use of just offering respect unless we offer service? In this way, he is teaching what it means to actually associate with saintly people. It doesn't simply mean touching their feet and taking dust on head. That is nice. But that touching of the feet and putting dust on head should be an expression that I'm willing to surrender to you and serve you. Otherwise, that act is meaningless. It is an act not of ritual. Today in India, people just take it as a ritual. They just touch someone's feet and go like this. But what this means, if you're doing it sincerely, is I am submitting my life at your feet and I'm willing to serve you according to your order. And if you're not willing to do that, then this is all superficial, ritualistic, and meaningless. So Ramanuja, after paying obeisances, he said that you please come to my home. Let me offer you prasad. Let me serve you in every possible way. So Kanchipurna, who was actually very humble, in fact, he was born of a Shudra family. He was from a low caste. But yet, his devotion made him worshipable by all intelligent Brahmins. So he went to the home of Ramanuja, seeing that he was sincere to understand the higher principles of God conscious and to serve. And Ramanuja gave him nice prasad. With his own hands, he served him. And then he desired to massage the lotus feet of Kanchipurna. Kanchipurna said, no, you cannot do like this. Because you are from the highest, most qualified Brahmin family, and you are full of all good qualities, and you are very learned, and I am a Shudra. You are worshipable by me. Therefore, I cannot allow you to touch my feet and to be a menial servant of me. I should be worshipping you. And when Ramanuja heard this, tears began to flow from his eyes. And with such a sincere and graceful heart, he replied, my dear Gurudev, if my being a Brahmin disqualifies me from being the humble servant of such a great devotee like you, then I consider that the birth of a Brahmin is the most condemned thing in the entire world. He said that one who has devotion to Lord Narayan, one who has surrendered his life in the service of the Supreme Lord, he is the shelter of all living beings. He can give refuge from all sufferings of all living beings. And you are such a soul. The principle of bhakti completely transcends all material social designations. Because it is only through bhakti that we can reach God. Not through being a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Sudra. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashasmi tatvataha. It is only by humble devotion that we can approach Krishna. Upon hearing this, Kanchipurna was very pleased. He was delighted to hear this young man's understanding of the greatness, the glory, and the power of devotional service or bhakti. In this way, Ramanuja became like a disciple to Kanchipurna. He was constantly seeking his association. Almost every evening, or whenever the possible ability came, he would sit at the feet of his Shiksha Guru and just inquire submissively about the goal of life and how to love Krishna. And how to best serve humanity in the loving service of the Lord. At the same time, as far as his formal education, Ramanuja was studying under one very, very great scholar of the name Yadava Prakash, who was a very, very stalwart follower of the monistic philosophy as taught by Sripad Shankaracharya. And Ramanuja, being very humble and very obedient and very well-behaved, would sit and learn at the school. But one day, when he was massaging his guru's body with fine oils, not his guru, but his teacher, some other students asked the teacher, "There is a verse in the Chandogya Upanishad which explains the color of Lord Narayan's beautiful eyes. It explains that they are very reddish. Can you give a commentary on this?" He said, "Yes, I can give commentary. It is explained here that his eyes are red like the rear end of a monkey." Upon hearing this, Ramanuja, out of politeness, would not say anything. But he could not tolerate hearing this explanation of the lotus eyes of his Lord. So he began to cry, very burning hot tears. And as those tears fell on the body of his spiritual, or his teacher became very upset. "Why are you crying? What is this? Tell me." He said, no, "better I do not tell you." "No, you must tell me. Why are you in so much distress?" "My Lord is Narayan. He is the supreme object of all my love. He is the reservoir of all beauty and all pleasure. Why you are comparing his beautiful lotus-like eyes to the rear end of a monkey? This is blasphemy. I cannot tolerate hearing this." Teacher became very angry. He said, "You are questioning my authority? This is the example Shankaracharya has used. How can you question it? If you are so learned, you give me another explanation that's better than this one." And he explained the Sanskrit words in such a way that it doesn't mean the rear side of monkey, but it means that the all-life-giving sun causes the lotus flower to blossom, and the Lord's eyes are as beautiful as that red lotus flower. And when everyone heard this, it was such an undefeatable explanation of the truth that the spiritual master was defeated, not spiritual master. He was spiritual master for everyone else. He was his teacher. So in this way, there became a conflict between teacher and student. And ultimately, The teacher knew that this Ramanuja is so learned. He's a great threat to our philosophy and to my position. Then what happened is this. The king of Kanchipuram, his daughter, who was the princess, was haunted by a ghost. And she was just totally crazy and obscene in so many ways. So Yadava Prakash was very famous for chanting mantras for every occasion. So the king called Yadava Prakash and said, please exorcise or cause this ghost to flee from the mind of my daughter. Yes, I am expert at this. He began chanting mantras. And as he was chanting mantras, the ghost was just laughing at him through the body of this princess. And he tried again and again and again. And through the mouth of the princess, the ghost in a shrieking voice said, Yadava Prakash, you are useless. You will never free me. You are only making me more and more excited to haunt this princess. So he tried again and again and again, and finally said, Yadava Prakash, if you really care about this girl, you will bring your disciple Ramanuja. He can cause me to leave her, and no one else. And the king and everyone heard this. So he was obliged, and Ramanujacharya came. He was a young man. He was only about 16 or so. Less. He folded his hands, and with humble devotion, he said, my dear ghost, please leave her. I beg you kindly, please leave this young girl. She's a nice girl. And the ghost spoke through her and said, if you put your lotus feet on my head, then I will leave. And the proof to show that I have left is after you place your feet on her head, the top branch of this banyan tree will break. That's the sign that I'm gone forever. So Ramanuja, he turned to Yadava Prakash and he said, do I have your permission, my dear teacher, to put my feet on her head? What could he say? The king, everyone else was there. He said, yes. So Ramanuja very humbly placed both of his feet on the head of the princess, and immediately the top branch of the banyan tree was broken. And then the young princess, she just, as if she just awoke from sleep. Where am I? What's happening? Who am I? What's going on? And then some of her friends told her, and she became so much ashamed and embarrassed that she went to her room after offering obeisances to Ramanuja. So of course, his teacher became even more angry and envious at this time. And there were certain arguments they would have in the classrooms between the personalist and impersonalist philosophers. One day, Yadava Prakash was preaching that the Supreme Absolute is Brahman, who is eternity, knowledge, and infinity, and everything is contained within. And the Supreme Brahman is formless, without personality, without any variegatedness. And the supreme goal of life is to merge into that existence. And Raman and everybody in the class was very happy to hear this. But Ramanuja looked terribly, terribly distressed. And Yadava Prakash said, what is the problem? He said, why are you explaining the Lord in such a way? My Lord Narayan is not simply the embodiment of nothing. He is the supreme most beautiful, the supreme most beautiful, most merciful. He was the reservoir of all pleasure. His divine form is infinite and eternal and full of knowledge and full of bliss. He is beyond even the Brahma Jyoti. And only through love and devotion can one approach him. At that time, Yadava Prakash made a decision that this student must be killed. So he gathered his other students together and he said, we must make a plan to kill this Ramanuja. He's ruining our whole philosophy. No one will follow us if he starts preaching. So they made a plan that they would go on a pilgrimage to North India, to the Ganges. And there, while traveling through the forest, they will kill him, and no one will ever know. So during the travels, they came to the Vindhya Hills, which is not far from here, and there they were making their final plans to kill him that night. But the cousin named Govinda of Ramanuja happened to be present, and he overheard them speaking, and he said to Ramanuja, he said, they're planning to kill you on this very night. You should go away. It was just about the time of sunset. So Ramanuja just started walking south through the jungles very fast. And he never came home that night. So the guru and the disciples decided he must have been killed by a snake or a tiger. Therefore, he's dead. So they began to rejoice within. So he started traveling, and he was a young boy. He was traveling through the jungles, and he was many, 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 many days they walked from Kanchipuram to reach that place. And at a certain time, he walked throughout the entire night. The next morning, he fell asleep. As he started walking again, he saw a hunter and his wife who were catching birds. And the hunter said, you are such a young boy. What are you doing in the jungle all alone? He said, I am trying to reach the great city of Kanchipuram. Do you know where it is? Do you know which direction, how I will get there? He said, oh, we are also going to Kanchipuram. You just come with us. So they walked just a short time, a few minutes only. They were long, long distance, days away from Kanchipuram. And they went to take rest by a riverbank at night. And the next morning, the wife of this hunter wanted some water. So Ramanuja was going down to this well and getting water back and forth three times. And after he got her the water for the third time, she said, I want more water. So he went back down and brought the bucket up, and she was gone. And he was looking everywhere. Where have they gone? And then he looked up above the trees. There were beautiful spires and chakras of wonderful temples. And he saw some person walking by, and he said, where am I? What city is this? So this is Kanchipuram. I know you. You are Ramanuja. You are the disciple of Yadava Prakash. Why are you asking such a stupid question? You've lived here all your life. And then Ramanuja realized that actually that hunter and his wife was none other than Lakshmi and Narayan, who had appeared in that wonderful form to save him from dying in that jungle and bring him back to his home in a most miraculous way. Anyways, his mother and everyone was very happy to see him again. And it is a long story, but he was also married. At the age of 16, his father arranged for his marriage to a very, very beautiful Brahmin girl. Her name was Rakshakambal. She was very devoted and chaste to her husband. One day, it is explained, Kanchipurna, that great devotee, came to the home of Sri Ramanujacharya. And they were speaking philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And Ramanuja was thinking that now that I am no longer connected with this Yadava Prakash, I want to get formal initiation, diksha, from this great devotee, Kanchipurna. So he asked him, will you be my spiritual master and initiate me and accept me as your eternal servant? And Kanchipurna said, but you are so highly qualified. You are so advanced. You are a Brahmin. I am a Shudra. How can I initiate you? It is not possible. I cannot do this. He was a very humble man. So Ramanujacharya was thinking in his mind that somehow or other, because of my high birth, I am very disqualified from receiving the mercy of this great devotee. But he is such a devotee. Although born in a Shudra family, his love of God is so great that anyone who he bestows his mercy upon, even if they are an animal, what to speak of the lowest untouchable family person, that person will attain the kingdom of God. If I can only receive his Mahaprasad, my life will be perfect. So with this plan in mind, he said to Kanchipurna, please, I want you to take prasad at my home. So Kanchipurna said, all right, I will come tomorrow. So he told his wife, Raksha Kambala, that you cook the most wonderful feast possible because my Gurudev is coming for prasad tomorrow. So she cooked all morning long, wonderful preparations. And then Ramanuja was thinking, it is only appropriate that I go to Kanchipurnam's home or where he is staying and I personally bring him to my house. So he said to his wife, I'm going to get him, make sure everything is ready. She said, everything will be ready. So he started walking. Meanwhile, Kanchipurnam understood Ramanuja's mentality, that he wanted to take his Mahaprasad. But he was too humble to allow him to do this. So he went, while Ramanuja was going to his house, he quickly went to Ramanuja's house. And he said to his wife, I am here. She said, oh, my husband is just coming. He went to get you. Please wait. He said, no, no, I have service at the temple. Please give me prasad right now, immediately, because I have promised to take prasad. I must, but I must go. So please give me now. So he ate prasad very fast. She served him with great respect. Then he took his plate and he gave it to some, just disposed of it in some distant place and washed himself. Meanwhile, whatever was remaining that was given to him, she went out and gave it to a Sudra woman. And Ramanuja returned. He said, where is Kanchipurna? I went to his house. He wasn't there. Huh, he was here. He took prasad. He took prasad, and I didn't even know. Well, where is his remnants? Why are you cooking again? She said, I'm cooking again because you are a first-class Brahmin. I cannot give you what was left by a Sudra. So I gave all of his food to some Sudra woman and to some animals, and I am personally cooking again for you. He said, what craziness. You have deprived me of the goal of life. Why you are so proud of this high birth? This pride is bringing destruction to your own spirituality. Do you not understand the gravity of the greatness of this Mahatma? So Ramanuja was very much disturbed. And ultimately Ramanuja, he became such a great, great devotee that the greatest of all the devotees in India at the time, Jamunacharya, who was living in Sri Rangam, he heard about Ramanuja. In fact, years before, he came to Kanchipuram and he saw Ramanuja. And he was very much attracted by his qualities of devotion. Jamunacharya had many, many disciples. And at the end, toward the end of his life, he was over 100 years, he became very sickly. And he was practically on his deathbed. And while he was laying there, his disciples asked him, can you give us some final instructions? And he said, I will give you three most essential instructions. You should, with great humility and devotion, offer flowers at the feet of Lord Krishna. Always be his devotee and servant. You must carefully, in every stage of your life, follow the instructions of your spiritual master. And three, to give up your false ego, you must become the humble servant of all the Vaishnavas. These are my three instructions. And then he became quiet and went into a state of samadhi for many days. And then he came out of his state of samadhi. And he said, I have one great longing. That beautiful effulgent devotee named Ramanuja in Kanchipuram, I want someone to come and bring him to see me. I want to initiate him and bring him into the fold of our sampradaya. So he sent one devotee of the name Mahapurna who went to Kanchipuram. It was a many-day walk. And when he met Ramanuja, he said that great devotee named Jamunacharya is calling to see you. And Ramanuja was thinking, me? Why me? I'm so insignificant. I'm nobody. He's the greatest devotee. Such a good fortune. He wants to see me. He said, let me just bring these flowers to my lord, and then I will go immediately. He brought some water and flowers to Lord Bhardwaj, and immediately he came and said, let us go. Mahapurna said, but what about your wife and your mother and everyone else? Don't you think you should tell them? He said, when the order of a great soul comes into your life, there is not even the slightest consideration of any other responsibility than to follow it. If he wants me, I have no time to even inform my family members. Let us go. Immediately they went. And he was in such ecstasy of love, thinking of the expectation of seeing this great devotee, Ramanujacharya. But while they were on the trip, Jamunacharya left this world. And his disciples took his body and placed it near the river Kaveri. At that time, Mahapurna and Ramanuja entered. They crossed the river Kaveri, and they saw big, big crowds of people, and they were all crying and weeping. They said, what's happened? Haven't you heard? The great savior of all of our lives, Jamunacharya, has died. At that time, Ramanujacharya fell unconscious on the ground. And Mahapurna began to weep and to weep and to weep. And after a long time, he sprinkled the water of the Kaveri River on Ramanuja and said, please get up. He may be gone, but his grace, his remembrance, and his instructions will always be with us. So they went to where the body of Jamunacharya was laying down. And everyone was weeping. But when people saw Ramanuja, he appeared to be effulgent. He was looking upon the body of his guru as if he was alive and as if he was getting some divine messages from him. And then Ramanuja spoke. He said, I see something very extraordinary on the body of Jamunacharya. I see that on his right hand, three of his fingers are closed. Did he usually keep his fingers like this? Disciples said, no, we would never see his fingers like this. And then Ramanuja offered obeisances to the body of his guru. He said, I can understand, Gurudev, that there are three desires of yours that were left unfulfilled when you left this world. And I vow that I will fulfill these three last wishes of yours. First of all, I vow that I will travel throughout all of Bharatvarsha to preach the glories of love and devotion to Lord Narayan and thus relieve the suffering of humanity. When he said that, one of the fingers of Jamunacharya opened up and became straight. He said, two, I vow, Gurudev, that there has not yet been a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra that has been written to perfectly and purely establish the highest principles of bhakti and devotion to the Lord as the supreme goal of life and the essence of all scripture. I will write such a commentary of the Vedanta Sutra that will defeat all other erroneous commentaries and establish pure devotional service throughout the world